Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you to our worship on this Children's Sunday. And if you're a visitor with us this morning, I invite you to take one of those brightly colored cards in the pew rack in front of you and fill it out, give it to me or to Barry or to Tanya, and this will give us a chance to become better acquainted. Let's take just a moment to greet those who are worshiping around us this morning. Number of announcements that I'd like to call your attention to. You'll see, first of all, two brightly colored sheets in your order of worship. These are registration for both All Church Camp at the beginning of August, as well as Vacation Bible School. So those of you who have kids, take a look at both of these. We encourage as many families as can join us for All Church Family Camp to consider that as well. I had an announcement. New women's Bible studies are going to be formed, and they've asked me to read this announcement. Are you looking for a Bible study that'll meet your needs and desires? Well, you're not alone. Other women at our church have expressed the same thing. And so on Sunday, June 15th, after the 10 a.m. worship service, there'll be a gathering in the library for any women who'd like to see new Bible study groups within the church created. Bring your thoughts, your ideas to share. There will be child care provided in the nursery and Discovery Kids rooms for an older group during this time. So whether you're young, whether you're old, a mom, married, single, a church member, a friend of the church, anyone that would like to be a part of this group, please join us as we get this ball rolling. I'd also like to remind you that the ASP mission team will be departing on June 21st. There's an announcement about that. If you'd like to join us down here at 8 a.m. to send the team off, they are going as our representatives. And whatever encouragement you can give to this group, I certainly hope that you'll be a part of it. There's also an announcement in the green sheet about St. Vincent's. We serve at St. Vincent's this Friday. Check the list in the hallway to see how many we have signed up. We want to make sure that we have a full team for that. At the end of the month, on June 29th, we will be having our Laity Sunday. Barry and I will both be at the National Association meeting in Omaha, Nebraska. And so we're still looking for some folks to lead the invocation, read scripture, do some of the prayers, and so on. So if you'd like to be a part of that, mention it to me, to Barry, or to Kathy Kebekus, and we'll certainly put you in a slot. There's some great folks that are going to be offering the message that morning. I know you'll want to be here. We've got Cindy Davis, Joel Boyd, our seminary student, and Jim Santel, which will each be offering 5-minute meditations on that Sunday. Also on the back of your order of worship, we have the summertime. On the 29th of June is when we'll be moving to our summer worship time, which is at 9 a.m., and so we hope that you'll make note of that as well. We need two more servers to help serve communion at the congregational home next week, so if you are able to do that, you can probably let Chip know in the office, and he can pass that along to the deacons. Finally, this is one of those great Sundays of the year where you get to have ice cream for breakfast. So we hope all of you will be a part of that. Fellowship committee has put together the ice cream social immediately after worship, and we're out on Ridge Court, aren't we? Weather's going to hold, I hope. So we hope to see all of you there this morning. Let's prepare our hearts and our minds now for our time of worship.
Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to Children and Youth Sunday. Please join me in the call to worship. Here we are, Lord. In this hour, we long to see you, to feel your presence surrounding us and loving us as we celebrate the wonderful children of the youth of Hearst Church.
We long to settle in silence,
laying aside
our worries and our
fears, and aware
of your presence all around us.
We know where two or more are gathered, you are also there.
Please join me in the prayer of invocation. Almighty God, you are our shelter and our strength. You have created the world in all its beauty and all its mystery. We rejoice in your majesty and are awed by your power. We are blessed by your grace. May our songs magnify your name. May our words honor your presence. And may our prayers bring your everlasting love into our hearts.
Amen. Good morning. We have an awful lot to get through today. It's such an exciting day, obviously, party with the balloons, and a day to celebrate all the wonderful things our children and youth, what they mean to this church, and the energy that they bring. The first thing I'd like to do is call up Elijah Kolbus to receive his third grade Bible. He and his folks, Craig and Sally, joined during the year, and this is the year he gets his Bible. So come on up and receive it. And as many of you were able to take part in the confirmation on May 18th, unfortunately, Kristen Bladow was unable to be there, so we are going to do a mini confirmation for her. At this time, I would ask Kristen to step forward and her parents to move into the aisle for our service. Friends in Christ, the young woman standing before you has found nurture and support in the midst of this congregation. She has fulfilled the requirements of our confirmation program and has expressed a desire to unite with us as members. In so doing, she offers to share our ministry, teaching us as well as learning from us as we all seek to follow God's will.
Kristen, I ask you now, do you wish to take upon yourself full membership in First Congregational Church? And will you continue to strive to know and do the will of God as revealed to you in the scripture, in prayer, in your life experience, and through the community of faith? Will you be loyal to this church and to the church universal, offering the support of your prayers, your talents, and your resources, as well as the gift of your presence? I would like to invite all of you in the congregation to read with us the church covenant. Our covenant can be found on the back cover of our hymnal or on the front of your order of worship. As followers of Jesus Christ, we commit ourselves to share in the worship and service of God, to grow in the knowledge and expression of our faith, to reach out with compassion to those in need, to treat each other with love and understanding, and to return to God a portion of God's gifts.
We are happy to celebrate the wonderful teens standing before you today. I will share a statement from Kristen's parents and her mentor, and then Pastor Bill and Barry will bless her. Parents of Kristen are Ken and Sue Bladow. And they say, "My family has had a long history at First Church. Kristen completes the fourth generation from our family to be members of this church. We always feel comfortable here, like this is coming home. Kristen juggled some major schedules to complete confirmation, and we are so proud of her for this accomplishment. She really appreciates the fact that Tanya and Ann made special arrangements for her to be recognized today. On Confirmation Sunday, Kristen was in Indianapolis with her synchronized swim team. Both her duet and team routines qualified for the regional meet. The meet was a success. Her team routine qualified for nationals in California." Way to go.
Yay.
"In the U.S. Navy Sea Cadet Corps, she earned her Petty Officer Third Class and will be staffing an advanced law enforcement training this summer. Love, Mom and Dad."
Wow.
"Her mentor, Emily Hayes, said, 'When Kristen and I met, I could tell right away that this young woman is filled with kindness. Her eyes sparkle when she talks about Sea Cadets. I look forward to seeing her more around First Church.'"
Well done. Mm-hmm. Would you like to put your arm behind that?
Eternal God, we ask your blessings upon Kristen as she continues her journey in the Christian faith from this day forward. Amen.
Our heads in prayer. Gracious and loving God, you have set this young person, Kristen, apart, providing a course of study and a time to deepen and strengthen her faith. We all come to you today as a community in celebration, offering to you our gratitude and praying for her continuing nurture and growth in the way. Send your Holy Spirit down upon her, we pray, and fill her with the wisdom, strength, and courage to step forward in faith. Lord, may Christian continue to feel hands upon her as she journeys forth today. Continually fill her with your Spirit, and may each one of us gathered here be granted a special measure of that Spirit so that we may help her now and always. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I would like to ask Pastor Bill, Pastor Barry, Jane Boyd, our moderator, and Carolyn Nowacki, Vice Chair of the Deacons, to step forward to offer the right hand of fellowship. On behalf of the entire church, we gladly welcome you as a full member of this faith community, with all the rights and responsibilities included therein, and offering our prayers for a long and fruitful relationship. Congratulations, Kristen. Now we're going to honor our graduating seniors, a tradition that started long before I was here. Put my trusty teen assistants to work here. I am going to ask that each senior comes up as I'm reading. I have a small gift for you, and then stand up front and we'll make a full line of all of you who are with us today. Ben Bladow, son of Susan and Kenneth Bladow. He's graduating from Brookfield East and will be going to either the Army or the Navy moving forward. Memories of his years here, second grade, and the mission trips. And he says, for some reason, that second grade room just stuck with me. Unfortunately, Maddie Cummings was unable to be with us, but I will give you a little spiel. Madeline is the daughter of Carla and Bill Cummings. She's graduating from Tosa East and will be attending the University of California, San Diego for a psychology major. And her biggest memories were the ASP mission trips. Our next senior is Caroline Fink, daughter of Susan Santel and Henry Fink. She's graduating from Whitefish Bay High School and will attend Marquette University, entering the School of Education, and will be playing with the women's varsity soccer team. Memories from First Church. My favorite memory was having Mr. Harmon as my Sunday school teacher because we shared life experiences while learning about our faith. He made class comfortable and fun every Sunday. Katie Galfano was unable to be with us today because I believe she's still in Spain, where she graduated at a high school in Spain, La Salle Cordoba. She is the daughter of Tom and Paige Galfano and attended Brookfield East before attending La Salle Cordoba. She is going to attend the University of Dayton, and her favorite memories are, I went on two mission trips and believe that the experience really influenced the course of my life. On a lighter note, nothing beats the ice cream social at the end of the year. That's what I would say too. Molly Harmon, daughter of Keith and Nancy Harmon, graduating from Wauwatosa East. She will be attending UW-Milwaukee with a major in business. Her memories, many years of fun at Christmas workshop, lifelong friendships, and fellow classmates, ice cream socials, and 3 years of a mission trip. Emma Hudson, daughter of Carol and Hugh Hudson. She's graduating from Wauwatosa East and will be attending UW-Madison. Memories here, Christmas workshops, camp, and mission trips. Megan Jensen, daughter of Susan Jensen, graduating from Wauwatosa East. She'll be attending UW-Eau Claire to study education. Her memories, ASP mission trips, rallies, brunches, Christmas workshop, volunteering for Vacation Bible School. Congratulations. Ginger Johnson, daughter of Matt and Donna Johnson, also graduating from Wauwatosa East. She'll be attending Lawrence University in Appleton. Her memories: Christmas workshops, coffee hour, mostly for the cookies, ASP, church camp, and narrating a few Christmas plays. Kirsten Miller, daughter of Tammy Miller, graduating from Wauwatosa East. Kirsten will be going to MATC in downtown Milwaukee for culinary arts and baking and pastry. This young lady has a heart for cooking, and people have the stomach for her cooking, which is very good. Memories of her 4 years, Sunday school when I was younger, the mission trips for ASP, and confirmation. Aiden Moore, son of J.C. and Ardeth Moore, graduating from Wauwatosa East. He'll be attending UW-Madison in the fall with a major in mechanical engineering, and he'll be working with the Air Force ROTC. He has lots of memories: mission trips, PF overnights with sock fights, I think broken windows, building the set, rehearsing and performing for the Christmas play, helping with games at VBS, church cleanup days, and going above the nave to help clean the chandeliers. Drew Peterson, son of Troy and Robin Peterson, graduating from Brookfield Central. He will also be attending UW-Madison, and his memories are ice cream socials and Mr. Harmon's class. Colleen Robottom, daughter of Sue and Mark Robottom, also graduating from Wauwatosa East. After high school, after graduation, she'll be moving to Denver to establish residency, work, and then attend University of Colorado Denver's music school, where she's been accepted. She says, "I will always remember First Church in so many ways, as it has been a guide in my faith journey. Some specialties include vacation Bible school, fellowship with peers, and the mission trips." Lizzie Russ, daughter of Steve and Michelle Russ, graduating from Wauwatosa East, and unfortunately I didn't hear back about her plans. I know she was looking at school in Arizona. Sydney Vandervelde, daughter of Martin and Nancy Vandervelde, graduating from Wauwatosa West High School. She will be attending Concordia University to major in chemistry. Her favorite memories: family camp and playing with the greased watermelon, John Scarlatta's cooking, and ASP trip to West Virginia. Oh, I gave him the wrong one. It's okay, I can be human today, I hope. Last but not least, Tanner Zilke, son of Charles and Nicole Zilke, graduating from Franklin High School, and unfortunately I did not hear his plans either. So we have quite a graduating crew, so let's give these young people a round of applause. All right, you can be seated. It's always fun to hear where our young people are going off to continue their studies or their service to our country. Teacher appreciation. What would I do without these amazing people who are here on Sundays when the kids are crazy, or when the kids don't want to answer questions, or when kids are just being kids? As I said, kids are the energy of this church, but without our wonderful teachers and volunteers, we couldn't pull it off, and I appreciate all of them so much. So I'm going to call them up, give them a little token of appreciation, and have the adults stay up here. Kids, while your teachers are gone, be really good. Okay. The 3, 4, and 5-year-old room, the room where lots of patience and love are needed. We have Mary and Rob Dummert. Come on up. And I would like to say that Mary and Rob contacted me, well, Mary contacted me and said, I think it'll be helpful for Will if we're with him. So can we teach? I'm like, yes. And they're just a couple who just loves to be with the kids, and I think Will has really opened up and enjoyed it as well. So it's a great team, because part B of that team is Jesse Reddy. And fortunately, I am blessed to have Jessie here working with our young ones, but she's also a colleague of mine at Wauwatosa Catholic, so I get to see her a few days a week, which is fun. And she teaches K-5 at Wauwatosa Catholic, so this is right up her alley. And as I said, I think this team was just incredible. Thank you. First grade, Margaret Brown. What can we say about Margaret Brown? Everybody loves Margaret Brown. So I have to find the right room to put Margaret in. And she just has a wonderful, wonderful heart for these children, always has. And how many years have you been doing this, Margaret? I should probably start keeping track. She says she doesn't know. It was before my time, though, and one of the things I appreciate about Margaret is that she really doesn't care where I put her, and she just wants to be with the kids. So then, in second and third grade, Laura Petrie Anderson. Laura's another one who has been teaching before I was even in this position, and even though Grace is a freshman, she continues to care for these little ones. And it cracked me up one day. She said, Tanya, I figured something out about the kids. If I run them around the room first, they listen better. I said, you go, girl. You do whatever you want. And I just love the fact that she's willing to do whatever it takes to reach these kids. And her dedication is much appreciated. The other half of the second and third grade team, Roger Griebling, was unable to be here. He, too, is one of those guys who finds a way to reach the kids, but he reaches them with their bellies. I think it's Swiss cake rolls. So, and he refuses to do crafts, but they make a really wonderful team. Our fourth and fifth grade team is two gentlemen, which I think is totally awesome. Any dads who ever want to teach Sunday school, let me know. I'll put you to work. Bladen Burns, come on up. Bladen's been moving with Jack and really finds a way to go outside of the box to, he found a neat DVD for the kids to watch and really loves church history and just takes a really fun approach to the kids. So Bladen, thank you. And his partner in crime, John Stern. We roped John into it. And the thing I love about John is he's just not excitable. He's one of those level-headed guys. And I can just say, hey, John, we need this today. He goes, okay, it'll work. And as an educator, I think through his experience, he knows how important that is to just go with the flow with the kids. The day never goes perfectly, and he just, like I say, stays even Steven. Now my PF helpers, unfortunately Laura Cletty is not here today. Once it hits summer, she sails every single Sunday morning on her lake. So she has been instrumental with me, though, writing the PF PowerPoints and teaching the kids. She and I team taught this year, which was tons of fun. But then I also have two parent helpers. The first one, Sue Bladow. Come on up. And Sue was another one who was working with the kids long before I even started in this position. And she just comes and has a heart for the kids to the point of, hey, again, what do you need from me? I've got you. And that is much appreciated. I'm going to put this plug in right now so that I don't forget. One of the things that Sue found was, it, I think 2 years ago we decided, and she brought these flip-flops in with a really neat saying, and I found them as I was cleaning for the children's library. And so today, teenagers, so middle schooler and high school kids, if you want to go ahead and grab a pair of flip-flops in this saying, it'll be outside at the end of the ice cream social. So grab a pair of flip-flops because I really love this. And I'm going to read it right now so I don't forget. What the passage says is, flip-flops are great fun to wear in warm and beachy weather. But flip-flopping on values, well, that's different altogether. For when it comes to your beliefs and choosing right from wrong, we must stand on principle, upright and tall and strong. When you have hard choices, draw a clear line in the sand. Don't go along just to belong, know firmly where you stand. And if you walk with God each day and practice self-control, you'll achieve great feats of faith, and God will bless your soul. So I just loved it, and it's so perfect as we move into summer, and there's lots of crazy choices to make and lots of flip-flops to be wearing. So teens, make sure to grab that before you go and as you're finishing up your ice cream. Barb Wells is the partner in crime with Sue up in the room, and she's another one who says, well, I'll run and get water, and I'll make sure the donuts are up there, and I'll make sure to talk in small groups. And I love her gentle spirit with the kids, and she always appreciates the lesson, and I think she learns as much from the lesson as the kids do. Sarah DeYoung, are you in the house? Okay, Sarah DeYoung, Discovery Kids. I don't even have to remind her of anything. I get emails, I'm going to be gone in 3 weeks. I don't even know what I'm going to do tomorrow. And she lets me know and gets it covered. And basically, she allows the kids a place to go if the parents are in choir or the children are in choir and they need to kill some time between. And she just loves the kids of First Church. And I've even asked her a few times, could you cover a Sunday school class because somebody's sick? Yeah. So I appreciate all that she does. I'm making Barb Dunham come up here, too. Where's Barb Dunham? Come on, Barb Dunham. She's the usher captain today. She helped with the children's library. She has our adult library, which all of you should use, by the way, because it's perfectly organized and wonderful. She does Faith Finders. She does Vacation Bible School. Kids, does she cook really well on Monday nights? Yes. And I've never met a person more willing to help, and on Friday afternoon, she was really pushing me to get a lot done, which, as I told her, I appreciated more than she knows. I'm making two more people come up, and they don't know it, but that's okay. Cheryl Lund and Marianne King. Well, fine, they can't come up. Well, I have gifts for them because on Confirmation Sunday, it's such an important day, and we had a huge group, as you know, getting confirmed, and Marianne made this really, really good creme brulee French toast. She was here before I was, getting ready, telling Mark what to do, and she and Cheryl did all the cooking, and then they got ready for the coffee hour, which was above and beyond the call of duty. So I wanted to make sure to recognize them. So all of the volunteers, thank you so much for all that you do for our kids. And now the fun begins because the kids are going to do their presentations.
So before we even begin, we probably should say thank you to Tanya because we couldn't do this without you. These are our 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, and some 6-year-olds and almost 7-year-olds, a few of us. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Jessie Reddy. This is Mary and Marin. They were also very helpful in planning for this year. This year, we decided to practice the Lord's Prayer, which seemed like a pretty big job, and we're doing pretty good at it, but we might need your help today as we recite the Lord's Prayer. So if you know it, as you should, you could say it with us.
Good morning, everyone. I'm very pleased to introduce to you our first grade class. And one thing that I do have to say, one of our most valued members is sick today, Isaac, and we'll miss him, and we're thinking about him. But Connor has graciously going to do his part for him, so that was very nice. We're also missing our teenage helper, who is Nathan, who is fabulous, and we appreciate everything he did for us this year. This year, we learned about the story of creation. We can read the following in the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth didn't have any shape, and it was empty. Darkness was over the surface of the ocean. At that time, the ocean covered the earth. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters.
God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good. He separated the light from darkness. God called the light day. He called the darkness night. There was evening and there was morning. It was day one. God said, "Let there be a huge space between the waters. Let it separate water from water." And that's exactly what happened. God made the huge space between the waters. He separated the water that was under the space from the water that was above it. God called the huge space sky. There was evening and there was morning. It was day two. God said, let the water under the sky be gathered into one place. Let dry ground appear. God called the dry ground land. He called the waters that were gathered together oceans. Then God said, let the land produce plants. Let them bear own seeds, and let there be trees on the land that bear fruit with seeds in it. Let each kind of plant or tree have its own kind of seeds. God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning. It was day three.
God said, let there be lights in a huge space in the sky. Let them separate the day from the night. Let them serve as signs to make off the seasons and the days and the years. Let them serve as lights in the huge space in the sky to give light on the earth. God made two great lights. He made the larger light, the sun, to rule over the day. He made the smaller light, the moon, to rule over the night. He also made the stars. God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning. It was day four.
God said, let the waters be filled with living things. Let birds fly above the earth across the huge space of sky. So God created the great creatures of the oceans. He created every living and moving thing that fills the waters. He created every kind of bird that flies. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning. It was day five.
God said, let the land produce all kinds of living creatures. Let there be livestock and creatures that move on the ground and wild animals. Let there be all kinds of them. Then God said, let us make man in our likeness. So God created man in his own likeness. He created them as male and female. God saw everything he had made, and it was very good. There was evening and there was morning. It was day six.
So the heavens and the earth and everything in them were completed. By the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. He rested on it. After he had created everything, he rested from all the work he had done. And aren't they wonderful readers?
Good morning. While we're getting organized, I just want to thank you parents for sharing your second and third graders with us this year. We have a really fun and energetic and smart group of kids, so it's been a great year. Okay. We had a few last minute substitutions, so we're just getting organized in our numbers here. So this year we worked on a lot of different things, but including the Ten Commandments. So the Ten Commandments is what we're going to be sharing with you all today. Everybody picked a commandment. We had a few wrestling matches over who wanted which one, but everybody resolved it very well. And then each of our students has done a representation of their particular commandment on the tablet. So here we go. After 3 months of wandering in the hot desert, Moses and the Israelites arrived at the holy mountain of Sinai. Moses told them that they would camp there and to prepare prayers because God wanted to speak to all of them. On the morning of the third day, dark storm clouds gathered around the peak of the mountain, hiding it from view. Thunder rumbled and lightning split the skies, followed by the earth shaking and the mountains spewing flames. A sound like a giant trumpet blared out, calling the Israelites to meet at the foot of the mountain.
Then Moses slowly climbed up toward the fiery mountaintop and disappeared into the clouds. The thunder and noise continued, so the Israelites thought it was the voice of God talking to their leader. When the noise died away, Moses came down the mountain and announced that God had given him 10 important rules to live by, also known as the 10 Commandments.
We will share the 10 Commandments with you from a kid's point of view.
The first commandment says that you shall have no other gods before me. God wants to be first in our hearts. We should ask ourselves if there is anything more important to us than God. Anything that comes before our desire to love and worship God is an idol. The bottom line, love God more than you love anything else. The second commandment says that we should worship God only. God wants our complete attention and affection. Our love for him should affect every area of our life. The bottom line, don't make anything in your life more important than God.
The third commandment says, do not take God's name in vain. We should never use God's name in wrong ways. The word we say reflects what is in our hearts, so we want our words to honor God. The bottom line, always say God's name with love and respect.
The fourth commandment reminds us to rest on Sabbath day and think about God. The Sabbath day was a day that God set aside for children of Israel to rest and worship him. It is similar to Sunday when many families take a special time to attend church. When we are in love with our Lord, we will want to go to church and learn about him. The bottom line, honor the Lord by resting on the seventh day of the week.
The fifth commandment states that we should respect and obey your parents. Our parents care for us, nurture us, and show their unconditional love, just like God does. Sometimes we disagree with our parents because we want things our way, but they know what is best for us. The bottom line, love and respect your mom and dad.
The sixth commandment says that you shall not murder. This is a strong and scary commandment for kids, so we have made this commandment even easier to understand. The bottom line, never hurt anyone.
The seventh commandment states, you shall not commit adultery. This is another commandment that is tough for kids to understand, but is also important and strong for strong marriages and happy families. The bottom line, always be faithful to your husband or wife.
The eighth commandment plainly states, you shall not steal. We need to take care of those things that belong to us and those things that belong to others. The bottom line, don't take anything that isn't yours.
The ninth commandment says, do not lie about others. Sometimes being truthful is difficult, especially when we think that we could get in trouble. We know it is the right thing to do, though the bottom line, always tell the truth.
Last but not least, the 10th commandment states, do not covet. This is a funny word that means you are jealous and really want something that someone else has. The bottom line, be happy for what you have. Don't wish for other people's things.
The Ten Commandments show us the perfect way to live. They are holy, just, and good. They demonstrate the way to live according to God's rules in harmony with God and in harmony with other people, especially our family and friends.
Introducing the 4th and 5th grade Sunday school skits. This year, we have selected three characters from the Old Testament. These will be Ruth, King David, and Joseph. Serena, Shannon, Maya, Aubrey, Anna, and Molly will tell us the story of Ruth. Take it away, girls.
Ruth was born in Moab, a country just across the Dead Sea from where the Jews lived. Her husband died, and she decided to go back to Israel with her mother-in-law, Naomi, who also lost her husband.
It was a brave thing to do, leaving the place of your birth and going to a place where the customs and people would be very different from what you had grown up with. But Ruth had seen something special in Naomi, which was her belief and trust in God. She did not want to lose this opportunity to find out more about Naomi's faith, so she went back with her to Israel. In the Old Testament, in the book of Ruth, she says,
"Where you'll go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God."
Back in Israel, Ruth and Naomi were very poor and struggled to feed themselves. Ruth got some food by harvesting at the edge of the field after the farmers had cleared the main ground. One of the farmers, Boaz, was really kind and invited Ruth to come back to his field whenever she wanted. He even told his helpers to drop extra bits of grain on purpose so she could collect as much as she needed.
Boaz was blown away by Ruth. No doubt he thought she was pretty, but he also had respected the way he had cared for Naomi, making sure that she was looked after in her old age. He was so impressed with her that he married her, and also made sure that Naomi had a good home.
Ruth's love for God and her affection for Naomi had led her to risk everything she had known growing up. God honored this and provided her with a husband and then a son, Obed. Years later, Obed also had a son, Jesse, who was the father of the most famous king Israel ever had, King David. Even more exciting, over 1,000 years later, Jesus was born in Bethlehem from the same family.
Next, Emma, Savannah, Millie, Logan, and Brennan will tell us the story of King David. Take it away, boys and girls.
David started life as a shepherd boy. He quickly grew into a brave teenager who protected his flock from mountain lions. His great skill with a slingshot helped him defeat a giant named Goliath, even when all the king's soldiers were too scared to fight.
David was very musical, playing a harp, the nearest thing they had back then to a guitar. He wrote poems and songs, and some of them are still read and sung today. You can find them in Psalms.
David was best friends with King Saul's son, Jonathan. Even though the king didn't like him, David was kind and respectful to him, even when King Saul attacked him. Even though David was young and not very tall, God could see that on the inside he was bold and full of faith. He was chosen to be the king of Israel.
When David became king, he worked hard to make the country safe for his people by defeating their enemies. 2 Samuel 8:15 says, "David ruled over the whole nation of Israel. He did what was fair and right for all of his people." David's family was quite big, and hundreds of years later, Jesus was born into David's family. David made some big mistakes in his life, but he knew how to say sorry and make things right. He became the most famous king that Israel ever had.
Finally, Jason, Miles, Antonio, and Jack will tell us the story of Joseph. Take it away, boys.
Joseph's parents were Jacob and Rachel. They had a very large family, but Joseph was their favorite child. Joseph was given a really nice coat by his dad, but it made his brothers jealous. They tried to get rid of him, and he ended up in another country. After a few adventures, including being thrown into prison for something he didn't do, he got a job working for the king. Because he was able to explain what some very strange dreams the king was having meant, Genesis 41:39 says, "Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'God has made all of this known to you. No one is as wise and understanding as you are.' Joseph was wise and brave, and he helped the whole country get ready for a time when there was very little food. God had put him in the right place and at the right time. He ended up helping his own brothers, even though they had not been very nice to him. His brothers didn't have any food in their own country either, so they came to see if Egypt, where Joseph was, had any food to share with them. Joseph had grown up so much that they didn't even recognize him, and they would never have imagined that he would be the prime minister. He could have thrown them out of the country or sent to jail, but instead he invited the whole family to move to Egypt. This meant that they would never have to worry about not having enough food again. Joseph had a strong faith in God. A number of people tried to harm him, but God always turned it around and brought good out of it. Joseph trusted God even when nothing seemed to go right. And when he had the chance to hurt people who had hurt him, he did the right thing.
This morning's gospel lesson comes from Mark 10, verses 13 through 16, and I will be reading from the Kids Study Bible in honor of Children in New Sunday. People were bringing little children to Jesus. They wanted him to touch them, but the disciples told the people to stop. When Jesus saw this, he was angry. He said to the disciples, "Let the children come to me. Don't keep them away. God's kingdom belongs to people like them. What I'm about to tell you is true. Anyone who will not receive God's kingdom like a little child will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms. He put his hands on them and blessed them.
First of all, thank you to the youth, the children, for helping us worship this morning. A wonderful job by all. Thank you for the parents and the Sunday school teachers for all they do, and Tanya and the CE board and all the other boards here. Thank yous are so important in life. The words we teach babies after they learn mommy and daddy are please and thank you. And I've learned in life when I need help, and I need help a lot, is to start with the words please, please help me, and when they do, to say thank you for helping me. When we pray, we can ask things for God, and the best prayer we can have is say thank you to God. We can thank God for our parents, and I do. We thank God for our brothers and sisters, and I do. We thank God for our spouses and our friends, and I do. And when we say even a quick thank you, even silently before we eat, it's a good prayer. It's probably the best prayer. For meal prayers are a time when it's just a prayer full of gratitude. My daughter Sarah and David keep teaching, and we as grandparents reinforce teaching King Eddie and Princess Opal to say thank you for every gift, even for clothes. Opal likes clothes, Eddie couldn't care for less for clothes, but the important thing we teach him is to say thank you. Adults are thankful too. We're thankful for the children because children keep us young, they keep our imaginations alive, and they keep our backs limber, and sometimes not too limber. Mark's gospel shows us Jesus with children, and I can imagine Jesus' gratitude to his father when children came to him. He was happy in their joy. He was pleasure in their delight. He was thrilled with their wonder. And I can picture Jesus in a square being surrounded by the children, smiling, laughing, and being entertained, just as I can picture any parent or grandparent just beaming when children are crawling all over them. Children have a great sense of who is a wonderful person, and I think that's why they were attracted to Jesus. And I really like the way Mark describes Jesus and his attitude with children. Candidly, Jesus took children in his arms. Picture that. Jesus holding the little children. Just picture again, this man who worked as a carpenter, strong hands, strong arms, picking up the children and hugging them. Jesus hugging the children. And then Mark shares with us that Jesus blessed the children. So children need hugs. Adults need hugs. And probably what this world needs is one big hug. Hugs are life-giving. So never forget, embrace the ones you love. Cuddle with the little children and squeeze the hand of the person next to you, the person sitting next to you, because that's nothing more than a hand hug. Hold the Lord close to you in your heart. Give Jesus a hug, a heartfelt hug, because guess what? Jesus needs hugs too. Our pastoral prayer today is we have two people that are recovering. Gloria Walsh is recovering at Elmbrook Memorial Hospital, and John Ertl is recovering and recuperating at Congregational Home. So let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for life, for the simple things of life, and for the not so simple things of life. We thank you for the love of the people around us. We thank you for the pleasures of life, ice cream waiting for us, the time to play, the time to just be. We thank you for the milestones in our life, confirmation, graduation, marriage, the decades of life, the eternal 39, and even 40, 60, 90, and more. We thank you for our health, but we also thank you, Lord, when we are brought to our knees, for then we realize once again how close you are within us. Lord, help us all to be like little children as we try to understand your kingdom. And give us the grace to receive your kingdom as a little child with awe and wonder and astonishment. May we never be jaded by your holy word or tired of life, but may we all approach you at whatever age, you and your world and our loved ones as a child does, wishing to tackle a new day fresh with enthusiasm and full of joyful anticipation. Lord, strengthen us as we work to love our neighbor, knowing that you have told us that everyone is our neighbor. We pray to you as our Father, with Jesus your Son, with the guiding wisdom of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord, you have blessed us so much as a church over the past year. We have felt your hand of love, grace, and forgiveness. We thank you for the leaders among us, for the many in our church who offer their time, energy, and abilities to lead us, both volunteers and staff, seen and unseen. We thank you especially for the children of our congregation. Each time a baby cries or shouts, we are reminded of how much you love them. We also thank you for the young people we celebrated today, for the energy and passion they bring to us. Indeed, Lord, you have blessed us, and we are grateful.
The charge today is very simple.
Hug and hug and hug again. May the Lord bless you and keep you.
May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Amen.
Don't forget the ice cream social.